we'd love to welcome you to this week's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. Tonight's topic is specifically on engaging students through internships, really how to host an internship. And you'll have the chance to join CCL's Student Engagement Coordinator, Claire Fang, for a training that's really going to walk through the process of setting up a local internship, what to consider, and really going through some best practices on creating that description and being a host and on really assessing whether you even need an intern. Whether you're a CCL group leader, a state coordinator, or a regional coordinator, working with an intern is a great way to get more done and engage young people with what we're all about here in Citizens Climate Lobby. We also want to acknowledge that supervising an intern is a significant time commitment, and especially with all of those considerations, we're going to have the wonderful host tonight, Clara Fang, CCL Student Engagement Coordinator, walk us through that. Clara first started volunteering with CCL in 2016 and is now the Student Engagement Coordinator. In that role, she engages students in climate advocacy and helps members conduct outreach to higher education. Prior to CCL, Claire had 15 years of experience implementing sustainability in higher education. She holds a Master's of Environmental Management from Yale and an MFA in Creative Writing from the University of Utah. If you want to ask her anything about creative writing in the Q&A, that's all fair game too. And she's currently getting her doctorate in environmental studies at Antioch University in New England. One of the great things about the Citizens Climate Higher Ed program too is that they have a snappy individual website. I'm going to put a link to that in the chat. So that you can explore anything that you might want to along the way. But I am going to stop talking so that we can have our wonderful host tonight jump right in and take it away. So thanks again for joining everyone, and the floor is yours, Clara.
Thank you so much, Brett, and thank you so much for joining me, everybody, on the night before the holiday weekend. I'm just so excited to talk about this topic. I think this is my favorite presentation that I've done, probably even more than diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because I'm really putting together those two for you in this presentation tonight on how we can advance diversity, equity, inclusion through the way that we work with young people. And, you know, young people are the future, right? And they are going to be the ones who are most impacted by climate change. They have such a powerful voice in climate change. And internships are a really powerful way to engage them. So in the tonight, I'm going to talk about why we want to work with interns, determining if you need an intern, finding an intern, how to work with an intern, and diversity, equity, inclusion. I'm going to start a little bit by saying that I've loved working with the interns at CCL. I've had them every semester since I started in 2016, and they have just been the most lovely students to work with, and they help me get so much done. And I currently work with 7 regional fellows. Last semester, I worked with an intern, and also like before I was at CCL, I worked with young people as well. You know, internships are such a critical stepping stone for young people. It's one of those critical entry points that propel or limit individuals. And traditionally, white students have had more access. They are more likely to find an internship or job through a personal connection. They have more access to opportunities, are more likely to be assertive in asking for internships, are more likely to have an environmental background, and have more opportunities to volunteer than students of color. So in this picture here, you can see that like with equality, you have 3 people standing on equal boxes, but they are not reaching the fruit of the tree. And with equity, you have higher boxes for people who need them to reach the tree. So everybody can get those benefits. And an internship is really a way to put a boost under that box and help people reach these fruits that are going to benefit them for the rest of their lives. And, you know, one thing that we're doing right now to help with that is the climate advocacy training program that we're running this summer. It's a training for future interns and campus leaders, 15 weeks over the summer, 9 webinars. They also attend the June conference. And we created it so that anybody can join with no application and no cost. We had 470 people enrolled. It just closed in mid-June. And 43% of the people who joined were students of color, compared to CCL's overall membership, which is 12% people of color. So why interns? For students, they need internships to get job experience. They learn professional skills. They have more structure in an internship and get more training than they would as a volunteer. They can put it on their resume. It's a foot in the door towards careers, and it can be a life-changing experience. I've had students who, after doing the internship, were like, I just love this. I want to do this for the rest of my life. Or, you know, sometimes not, like they find out it's not what they want to do and choose something else. But it's such a critical time in their life that it just has an outsized impact. There are lots of benefits for you and CCL. So if you're a group leader or some other volunteer with a lot of work, you get extra help. They can take things off your plate. They have more accountability than a volunteer. They may possess skills that you or your volunteers may not have. You're helping to recruit young people into CCL, which we actually still need more of because we still have a lot of retirees. You have the opportunity to engage them for a long term, since internships are at least one semester. Often they are longer. And then you have the opportunity to deeply impact a young person's life. And that's really the best part. So here's a list of internships that we offer with national staff at CCL. I take on interns to help me with higher education. Brett has an intern to help with his projects. We have internships in international outreach, legislative, lobby day, Latinos action team, and so forth. We also have regional fellows who work with regional coordinators and myself on regional outreach and advocacy. CCL internships are extremely competitive, and increasingly so, since we have become such a desirable organization to work with. Since September of 2019 to April 2020, I received 530 applications for our internships. The staff individually receive more because the interns, they also send them to the staff. They don't just send them to me. During that time, there were two semesters basically. We offered 11 positions, hired only 15 for the spring and 12 for the summer. So this is an acceptance rate of about 5%. The legislative internship in Washington, D.C. alone received 106 applications, and Adeline Dion hired 2. So we need more internships, and that's where you could really help us. If you could use the help, the students could really use you. So how do you know if you need an intern? Not everybody should take on an intern. I feel that you can take one on if you spend more than 20 hours a week working on CCL. You know, if you're a volunteer who only has time for 10 hours a week, you're not going to have enough work to give to an intern. Supervising an intern is a lot of work, and they can't do all your work. You have to have enough work to give to them. You have a regular schedule for working on CCL. You can work live or in person with an intern at least 5 hours a week, right? So that's spending time with them, can be virtually, but at least 5 hours a week. You have a complex project that can be broken down into discrete delegable tasks. So a regional conference is a good project that has a lot of discrete tasks that can be delegated. What does an intern do? So they can do advocacy. So that's something they can do themselves, right? They don't need an internship to do this, but it's something that is really great to learn in an internship. You can help them write an LTE or attend lobby meetings with the members of Congress or write letters. So advocacy things they do themselves can be done through an internship. Outreach, there's a ton of that, you know, we do at all of our chapters. So that might be tabling or presenting or scheduling people that you want to meet with. Group organizing. So if you hold in-person meetings, the intern can help take notes or set up the agenda. A lot of membership, like for my higher ed action team, the intern helps me out with like putting members into lists and wherever we have people signed up, like entering all those people. Communications. So like my intern helps me do the monthly newsletter, post in social media, research. So like with my project, like they do a lot of research on like, who should we reach out to, you know, in higher ed, professors, sustainability coordinators. They are best utilized for tasks that where you need behind the scenes help. So they're not really great for, tasks where like you want to build relationships with the community or overseeing other volunteers. Since they're short term, it's not so great for them to start relationships that then can't be continued. We do have regional fellows who have year-long commitments who are able to do some of that. And really like the top motivation should be that you want to help young people launch their careers. You want to foster deep engagement from young people. You want to help disadvantaged youth to gain an advantage in life. I think they can totally be really helpful in our work, but the impact that we can have on their life is even more. All right. So if you've thought about all this and you're like, I want an intern, and now what? So first you've got to get organized. What do you want the intern to do? What is it that you're doing? So what are your projects? And for each project, break those down into tasks. How much time do you need for each task? You know, is this like I just need somebody to help me for 5 hours, or it's going to need like 5 hours every week for the next 6 months? Which task could you delegate to an intern? What needs more instruction? What skills do you need? Maybe there are areas where an intern could bring skills that you don't have. Then you need to create a position description. So this is what you're going to use to advertise the intern. And also like just to help you think through all these things. The purpose and the goal of your internship, benefits, who it reports to, hours, location, payment, duties, qualification skills, how to apply. So the student needs to see, to know all of these things before they decide even if they want to apply. So I have a couple links here where we have some examples. So here, you know, we are looking for an intern to help a regional coordinator. So here it describes what is CCL, what do we do here? Benefits. Well, I put it at this top because, you know, interns are looking for benefits, and we're not paying them. So we have other non-monetary benefits like opportunity to earn training certificates or free registration to the conference, academic credit, certain things like that. Who they report to, schedule/time commitment. I think 8 hours a week is a pretty good for an intern who's also going to school full-time. Less than that, it becomes hard to get much out of them. And more than that, they just can't commit to. So location, is it in person or remote? Paid, unpaid. And then you list out the activities, right? So here, you know, working with student groups, here are some tasks that they would do. Conducting outreach, advocacy, helping with the regional conference. What qualifications are you looking for? How do you apply? And then we have our little blurb about attending the info session and being an equal opportunity employer. So this is in a folder I have that is shared with other people where you can basically use this as a template to fill in your own internship description. So about the equity part of this, how accessible is your internship? You know, like what are the hours and commitment, what are the benefits, location, does it make it hard for some students to be able to do it? So working remotely definitely offers the opportunity to a lot more people. You know, for qualifications, like you may need some, like a specific major, but for the most part, I don't really care what their major is. They just need to care about climate change. How to apply. So these are just things to think about, ways that you can be more inclusive and bring more young people to enable them to do this. So we do have some eligibility requirements. They need to be at least 18 years old. Younger students just have a lot more liability issues, and there are different rules for working with minors. So we don't take them on as interns, but of course they can volunteer and work with you that way. Internet connectivity seems like we have to have that. Location. Some internships, they do want them to be on site. And language fluency, right? Like the Latinos Action Team, they want someone who speaks Spanish. Volunteer status. Okay. Oh, so this is about paying interns. So currently CCL does not pay interns. We do have paid fellowships. So those are for more experienced students with more responsibility. So if you are not CCL staff, but you want to pay an intern, you may do so with your own funds. You can fundraise in your region, but they want us to limit that fundraising to the chapter or region in which the intern will serve, and not during times that National has a fundraiser going on. Advertising the position. So recruitment should happen at least one semester before the internship. So if you're looking for a summer intern, summer interns actually start accepting applications even earlier, like students are looking in the fall. So I would say like December to March is the time when people are really looking for summer internships. Fall will be like April through August, spring, September through December. One of my pet peeves is people being like in the week before summer, like, oh, I think I want an intern. It's like, well, you should have told me that 6 months ago. So for DEI, you know, who are you advertising to? Like who is likely to see your announcement? You know, you might consider going to places where there are going to be more students of color, like going outside of where you would normally think to advertise. So you need to prepare a PDF and web version of the job description, since a lot people usually find this out about the job through the internet now. You need a web version. Just loading it onto your Google Drive is fine. And then you have a link that you can share. You can contact the Campus Career Center, like look on their website and see how they want employers to advertise internships. You can email their sustainability office or political science department and ask them to put it in their newsletter. And then there are kind of wider jobs looking posting sources like Indeed, LinkedIn, and Handshake. I've actually gotten a lot of applications through Indeed. And Handshake is really a university platform. So that's kind of good for like putting it more widely out there. And then like people get info through social media a lot now, like on Facebook or Twitter. Okay, so you put it out there as widely as possible with an eye towards diversity, equity, inclusion. Then you need to interview and select them, right? So collecting applications. I have some tricks for doing this. We haven't done this before, but I really think this is a great idea, and which is to create an application form through Google Forms. So I'll show you what this looks like for me right now. So the intern would get a link to this, and then they would apply by filling out this form, like which term are you applying for? Which internship are you applying for? And then all of their information. So then we get to this part where it's like, to help us improve diversity and inclusion, please answer the following questions. And these are things that people would normally put on their resume, but it's really helpful to have. So through this form, I can collect that. So their gender, race, political affiliation, what has been their past experience with CCL, how do they hear about the position, and then they can upload their cover letter and resume. So I'm really excited about using this for our next round of recruiting. I want to specify a deadline. create a folder in your email box just for intern correspondence. So lots of people will email you'll be like, here's my resume and cover letter. If you're not collecting that in its own folder, it will all get lost. Then when you download it, you also need a folder on your desktop. So looking through the resumes, think about your internal biases. So people tend to want to work with people who remind them of themselves. Maybe they went to the same school you did, or they look like you, or they remind you of your daughter, right? Like we're just naturally attracted to that. But that's not necessarily like who is the best to work with you to help out our equity and inclusion goals. So I would like try to counter that a little bit and be like, who is actually different from me and how would I feel working with that person? Research shows that resumes with ethnic sounding names get rejected even when they are identical to a white applicant's. They've done experiments where they sent employers the same resume and one person would be like John Jacobson and the other person has an ethnic sounding name, and the white person will get picked so much more over the ethnic sounding person, even if their resumes are identical. That's something to watch out for. Experience at a young age is socially determined. So that means, if students have a ton of impressive extracurricular activities, their parents had a lot to do with that. Their backgrounds had a lot to do with that. So if we're looking for initiative and potential, those people are going to stand out, but we also have to understand that it's because they had privilege. And we want to help people without privilege to get ahead and not just give privilege to already privileged people. So traditional markers of success have traditionally privileged white people, things like grades, extracurriculars, and athletics. But other ways you might determine potential are what kind of jobs do they have? Were they able to hold them down? Did they do service? What were their references like? Writing sample, what kind of obstacles they overcame in life. So, you look through all your applicants and you interview the people that are attractive to you. A good thing to do is just confirm their basic requirements, like they're available during the period that you would want them to work. They have the things that you need to have. And that they're still interested, and then you can invite them to a call with you. So some sample interview questions, how did you learn about CCL? Why are you interested in working on climate change? Why are you interested in this position? What relevant coursework have you taken? Leadership experience? What do you want to gain from this experience? What do you want to do when you graduate? What skills do you bring to this internship? Tell me about a project you are proud of. Tell me about work and school experiences that you enjoy. How about a challenge you had and how did you deal with it? So these are all questions to get to know them and help understand their problem-solving skills and their motivation. So to me, a good candidate is someone who shows that they have done their research and they, even if they have no experience, that they've looked at the website and they know what we are about and they know what they're getting into. This job is aligned with their goals and interests. And you can see that from activities that they've already engaged in, what they're studying at school, what they want to do in the future. That it shows internal motivation. Right. So that they want to do this internship from this place of caring, that they have a passion for this subject, I think, or, are motivated beyond just like, well, this will look good on my resume. They show maturity and accountability. That's really important. Like we want to know that they will get a job done if it's assigned to them and that they're organized. So after the interview, you might do some follow-up steps like ask to see their writing sample or their transcript and call their references. All right, so then you picked an intern. Great. That was all a lot of work already. So now you are down to working with the intern and bringing them on board. And we have some very important steps that we need you to know once you have picked an intern. Okay, so you should take a day or two for you and your applicant to reflect on your options. Don't give it to them on the spot in the interview. Tell them that, thank you, you'll think about it and get back to them. Take no longer than a week to notify the applicant of acceptance or not. And then inform those you didn't decide to take on that they can still join and get involved with CCL. So that will be a lot of people. So you recall, 95% of the people who apply get rejected. Don't get an internship, I should say, but they are interested in being involved with us. So let them know how they can become members and volunteer with us, et cetera. So sample acceptance letter, right? I was very impressed by your application and would like you to become our intern. Please confirm and I will send you the necessary paperwork. Congratulations. Okay, sample rejection letter. Thank you for your interest in interning with us. While I found another candidate, I want to let you know that CCL welcomes anyone who wants to work on climate change, and you do not have to do an internship to get involved. The Climate Advocacy Training Program is specifically for students that would like to learn to become better climate advocates or start a climate campaign on their campus. You can join a local chapter. Our chapter has a Facebook group. You can join us there, or we can meet in the community. You can invite them to your regional conference or the national conference. No matter how you choose to get involved, I hope you join us in taking climate action. So I've sent this rejection letter hundreds of times. and students do join. And I've had rejected interns join us for the Campus Leaders Program, and they have done amazing. So once they've accepted, then we need you to fill out the paperwork. First is letting me know that you've taken on someone, and you can do that through the Intern Hires and Needs spreadsheet. You need to create a work agreement. So this is just your job description plus a space for signatures. So I have some examples here. So for example, this was for our Michigan intern, and it's that job description I showed you before, but you add this block where they sign and you sign, and that's it. And it says, I accept the terms outlined in the disagreement. Then we have paperwork that HR needs. That's linked in here. If you're a state coordinator, volunteer, group leader, they should sign all the things except email etiquette. And then they sign the documents, send them back to you and to MOU at citizensclimatelobby.org, and put in the subject intern, clarifying onboarding. So the paperwork, it includes, an intern information form, which you'll complete through Google Forms, the work agreement, assumption of risk waiver, release of liability. So this basically says, if you get hurt doing things with CCL, do not hold us liable. Non-disclosure agreement. For example, we have information on thousands of people who are our members. So if the intern is working with sensitive contact information, they're not sharing that. This is our sexual harassment policy, no sexual harassment and how to contact HR if that happens to you. Standards of conduct. And then email etiquette and instructions. So this is for staff interns only. They will get a CCL email, and Kathy Orlinski will set them up for that. Okay, so then, this is just sample sending the documents to them. Then you wanna set up a time to have a first meeting with that intern. All right, so best practices for working with an intern. Now the fun begins. So your first meeting with the intern is an orientation. Reviewing the purpose and goals of this job, can you meet with the intern to work with them? Where do you want to work? How do you want to work? What are your projects? How do you want the intern to communicate with you? And training them on tools that they will need. Have them plug into CCL. So join CCL community, join us on social media. They should join your chapter. And then do invite them to join the Higher Ed Action Team. And we'll send them of opportunities that we give for to students. So you might want to set them up with some training, especially if they're completely new to CCL. So like we have the wonderful climate advocate training. Brett runs core volunteer training on Tuesdays. There's lobby trainings, if they're getting involved with that, CCUs, monthly calls. They might join some action teams on topics they're interested in. So this is a great benefit. You know, they get to learn about these topics. Project management. So this has been so helpful to me is using a project management platform to collaborate. And there's quite a lot out there now. Asana, Trello, Slack. I mean, you could just use a Google spreadsheet, but somewhere where you can see what the intern is working on and they can communicate with you, you know, their progress. So I'm going to show you real quick how it works for me in Asana. So Asana is a project management tool, and the free account gives me up to 10 users. And I have 7 regional fellows plus 2 interns. So that's a lot of people I need to keep track of. So when they're shared in here, you know, I can share with them, here is the link to our higher ed spreadsheets. This is the campus leader's manual. So all of the credentials and everything, like they can, this is like a wiki, you know, they can find all the information and they don't need to ask me every time. Then down here I have tasks. So like start the July action sheet. Here's a task. And then I put in here the Google Doc, and then I can assign that to the intern that I want to have work on this project. So like, you know, she's doing this, and then this person is doing this, and this person is doing this. So if I did not have this tool, it would be nuts. Over here, for example, you know, I'm keeping track of all these students who are group leaders. So every group leader has a task. And then my regional fellow takes notes every time she has a call with them. So this way I know what's going on with every campus leader that we have. I do a lot of co-working with the interns, and I find this so helpful. I spend, let's see, like 6 hours a week working with my intern last semester. We would meet Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for 2 hours. You know, I would give her the things to do at the beginning, and then she would work on her things and I would work on my things. And she often has questions, then, I'm able to be there and answer them, do a lot of share screen to show how to actually do something. Being there, it really supports the interns. I have had interns where like I gave them some things to do, and then next week, like nothing got done. Right. So with co-working, it's like, you are working on this and I'm watching you. And I like know that things got done. I think I'll skip this. So this is like, you know, just delegation. Other best practices, like encouraging their involvement. So like we have all the webinars and trainings that they can do remotely. We invite the interns to come to conferences, giving positive and constructive feedback. Yeah. You know, like a lot of times I like the quality control is really important, right? Like whenever they do something, like you go and look at it, and often there's a lot of things I need to correct in there. But like showing them what needs to be corrected, then they can learn from that. identify their talents and projects that interest them. We don't recommend that they start a CCL campus chapter during their internship. That's a very involved project, but you can invite them to do that after their internship. Okay, wrapping up the internship. At the end of the semester, you want to make sure that you have all the important files that they created. Acknowledge their contributions. So I sometimes send them a gift from CCL Zazzle store, and they can pick a CCL merchandise like a water bottle or a shirt. You might take them out to lunch or send them a gift card. Have them fill out an evaluation form and keep for references. So like I created this one that others can use if they like, and it just has some space for them to say like what they did in their internship, what were some challenges they experienced, what they liked, and some space for you to add in your notes, because they will come back to you and ask for letters of recommendation, and you need to remember what they did for you. And then next is keep in touch, be a mentor, be prepared to be approached for reference in the future. I've really enjoyed seeing where my former interns have gone on to do, and it's really great to hear from them in the future. And then if they had a email account created for them, email Kathy or Linsky so she can close their email account. Then you can also invite them to continue their involvement with CCL. They can do other CCL internships. Jess Wilbur, who interned with me on the Higher Education Outreach, she interned for Brett the semester after that, and now she's interning for Kathy Orlando for International Outreach. So obviously we love her at CCL and she loves working for us, and she's just rotated to other positions. They can become a campus leader. So that's where they start a chapter at their school and get supported to do that. So some people, they are an intern and they become a campus leader, and some people are campus leaders and then become an intern. They can apply to our regional fellows position. So regional fellows, we require that they have more experience with CCL. So they've done an internship before, been a campus leader, and then their role is to support and mentor the younger students who want to start chapters. And of course, they can volunteer with a chapter. They can also go on to work at other organizations. I'm pretty connected with other climate organizations. They might ask me like what other organizations are there that I can work for? And I've also taken on students who have interned at other organizations. So that's like a nice reciprocal relationship that we can have with those other organizations. So we have resources. Brett is going to have all of this on the Engaging Students Through Internships page on CCL Community. This is like the external page where all of the CCL national internships are listed and people can see how they can apply. This has all the paperwork and, this recording will be in here, like all of the intern supervisors' resources, the paperwork for interns, and then my contact.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.